He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show, your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Paul Molitor Show. Awfully pleased to be in studio with Jack Morris and Paul Molitor. Where else would you rather be on a Sunday morning? And guys, beautiful day for baseball, beautiful day here at the ballpark.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I will tell you that this has been a beautiful Minnesota summer week. We've had great weather for baseball. The crowds have been fantastic. You know, it's been a lot of fun being out there on the field. Results haven't been all great, but it sure has been a nice week to play here at our beautiful facility.
And August got off to a great start with really a rousing and fitting victory last night. The 65 team was here, guys, and they won so many crazy late-inning games and one-run games. So, Paul, it was nice of you to kind of sketch that out so that you could give them a victory kind of in their own molding there. Just the way you draw it up, right? Sure. Runs on wild pitches?
Well, you know, the whole idea of the honoring the 65 team, you know, it was special for some people more than others, and I was one of them. It was just really cool. It was emotional. It was nice to be able to win with those people here. You know, I remember, I think there was even a cassette or some kind of tape made that was called Bottom of the Ninth that kind of had Halsey Hall's highlights, all the comebacks. I remember listening to that somewhere along the way. But for us to come back on a game where we obviously missed chances early, and to win a game like that, that was big for us here.
We've even got the record here. We've been playing cuts of it on Fridays, and it's got Ray Scott and Halsey going bananas and chomping on the onions and Herb calling the action, and it is something else. Jack and I have been talking pretty much all morning about those guys, Paul, and you and Jack, and I throw Gene Glenn into this category of guys who were the right age in the right place, where that group that we saw last night, I mean, they meant an awful lot to young baseball-loving kids of your age at that point in time. Do you have specific memories of what that team meant to you as a kid?
Some of the actual game things aren't as specific as just the generalities. Like Jack in St. Paul, you know, being absorbed with baseball, 8 years old, the summer of 65, and just, you know, watching the season unfold. You kind of get attached to those players. You kind of live and die with the, I think, 50 broadcasts on television back then. It wasn't the full season, but you had the radio. You know, I had the little, I mailed the Twins for the little 3x5 pictures, and I think there was a Pepsi bottle cap collection, and there was a lot of different things that kind of connect you to that team. You know, Jack and I are fortunate in that people that we looked up to that helped fuel our passion to play the game, we've now got a chance to meet and befriend later on in life, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the one thing, and I'm sure, Paul, you saw it, you know, we didn't even though we were growing up in a very close neighborhood, we never really crossed paths until a little bit later in our lives.
Right.
And yet I remember the kids in my neighborhood would mimic all the Twins players. There was a guy that would swing like Killebrew, and there was a guy that would stand up there and pretend he was Tony Oliva or Don Minch or Bob Allison. I'm sure that happened to you, and you know, those were the things, like you said, that fueled our passion to become baseball players.
Yeah, did I say Pepsi? I better say Coca-Cola. For people who are, I think it was Coke, but yeah, I'm like you. You know, the big thing in the summer, Jack, when you're young back then, we didn't have, you know, all the things the kids have today, the tech things and all that. It was get up, have breakfast, bowl cereal, run down the alley, and gather the clan and put together a little game. And like you said, everyone had a stance or a player they liked more than another. You know, Harmon was my guy, but certainly seeing those guys last night, you know, it just flashbacks, you know, from Rich Rollins and you know, Sandy Valdespino. You know, I had to talk to him last night about the catch that I remember that he made. I don't know if it was in Cleveland or somewhere where he climbed the wall and he caught it backwards. And he goes, I remember. You know, those are cool things.
Ah, it's fantastic. We could probably fill two shows worth of stuff just talking about that. But I guess some stuff's happened with the 2015 team we should probably get to as well. And if you'd like to join us, and already the lines are filling up a bit here, 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-9797. 9467. Before we get to our first break, Paul, let's talk about quickly the trade deadline. You acquire Kevin Jepsen, your familiarity with Jepsen and how that process all came together.
Well, obviously, throughout the process, there's a lot of things that are tossed around for a lot of different teams, who's buying, who's selling. Terry was targeting, trying to get some help, particularly in the bullpen. That's fairly obvious from what's transpired. And, you know, Kevin Jepsen, I've seen him pitch some here in the recent, you know, last year, this year, but I do remember a lot more when the Angels brought him up and he kind of took over a pretty important role on some pretty good teams. He's got experience. He throws plenty hard enough. Had a great chat with him yesterday as he got to the clubhouse. It's just going to deepen our bullpen on the back end, which is a good thing. You know, we've done okay holding leads and this and that, but there's sometimes when we've either been barely trailing or even where we haven't done quite as well. And I think just adding a power, experienced guy can only help us. So I'm grateful for it, and I'm looking forward to seeing him get in a game.
All right. We'll talk a lot more about what's going on with the Minnesota Twins and what's on the road ahead as the Twins will head out for an important road trip following today's big game against Seattle. It's the Paul Molitor Show right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced comfort series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
It's another season of Twins baseball in the great outdoors. Brought to you by Target. Expect more, pay less.
We bought a house.
We found the one.
Here to stay.
Permanent.
Rooted.
Residence.
Relocated. I've been relocated.
In a short-term world, trust your home mortgage to a long-term bank. U.S. Bank offers the rates and products that fit your life. Visit a branch, usbank.com/mortgage, or call 855-434-HOME to talk to an experienced mortgage loan originator today. Mortgage loans subject to credit approval. Interest rates and program terms are subject to change. Deposit and mortgage products are offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
With the success of the Case IH Steiger Quad Track and Magnum Road Track tractors, it's no secret why Case IH is the leader of the track. So it wasn't surprising when the competition started imitating us. But only Case IH offers a 5-axle design to give you a smoother ride and more power to the ground with less burning and compaction. Still, we're flattered. In fact, if we weren't already red, we'd be blushing. To learn more, visit caseih.com/tracks.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. Paul Molitor is here. Jack Morris is here. The Twins and the Mariners wrapping up a four-game series at Target Field later on this afternoon. We're going to go to the phones here again, 877-388-9467, 877-388-9467. I guess we're not going to the phones. Pete was on the line. Our old buddy wanted to talk about infield shifts, so we'll shift and just talk about the infield. Tough decision. You had to send some guys down. You send down a couple of talented young infielders. That's been kind of a revolving door, and I know something that you've spent a lot of mental and physical energy on from day one. Talk about where you are with the shortstops.
Well, you know, with Danny's season this year, obviously, you know, I, along with other people, decided that he's the guy we wanted to go with this year. We all were kind of hoping that he would build off of what he accomplished last year. It's been a tough go, which happens to a lot of young players. And, you know, after the initial send down, whenever that was earlier in the season, he came back and he started doing a little bit better. But we saw some regression again, just in terms of how he was handling not hitting 320. And, you know, it just got to be where I thought it was somewhat detrimental to keep trying to run him out there in terms of, our best options. Had a good talk with him before we sent him back down. I wanted to encourage him and imagine a scenario where he comes back and contributes to this team and helps us accomplish some of our goals. But I think to go down there and get back to getting some at-bats, I wasn't playing him here the last week or so, and it was time for him to go out and play. Polanco got a chance to come up for the third time in a short stint. We all think his bat plays really well up here right now at this level. But you watch him play defensively. He needs more work. It's game's still a little fast for him. He needs to tighten up some things, and that'll come with experience.
Paul, the one thing I've noticed this year, maybe it's just because we know each other so well, but your willingness to explain to players in a positive way when they're going through a tough time, I think, is so refreshing. I lived in a generation where you would get called into an office and get your pink slip and get sent out, and you would wonder what happened because there was never any explanation. And yet, in today's world, to talk to a Danny Santana and explain to him that he's still on your list and you want him to be a part of the future, I think it's got to be a positive thing, even though it's a negative situation for the player.
Well, you try to find ways to do that, Jack. It's not always easy. I think there's been conversations I've had with Danny as an example where you're a little bit more forthright about the need to play better, and you can't really mince words at times. But in general, you try to find ways that they are given a few seeds that they can go water themselves. In the end, they got to be accountable for their own careers. But it's changed. You know, I remember those days, too. The guy come in and say, you know, you're not playing good. You got to go down. And now it's, okay, this is why we're doing this, and this is what we can envision happening for you. This is what you need to work on. We really like how you've put the work in, and you're improving your defense. And so you try to do that. Players today, whether you want to talk about the millennials or whatever, they just kind of have a different way of seeing things and a way needed to be communicated with. I'm still learning how to do that, but I'm trying to be transparent and honest the best that I can. I think our coaches do the same thing, and hopefully it pays off for these guys in the long run.
And we're seeing some of that on other parts of your diamond. Look at an Aaron Hicks who obviously had some struggles, and here's a guy now over the last couple of weeks who has been an instrumental part of your club in all aspects of the game.
It takes time. Some people longer than others. You know, Aaron has changed for the better. We all see that. Little signs of encouragement are that when I go to talk to him about a pitcher before a game, not only in terms of how he's going to be pitched, but potentially running situations, he's got information. It's not me providing everything for him anymore. The other night he had a really good game, but he had an at-bat late in the game where he struck out on a 3-2 changeup. And that's the at-bat he wanted to talk about. He didn't want to talk about the ones where he got hits and he did things that were good. He wanted to address the area that he thought he could do better in. So those are all signs that players are starting to understand the bigger picture. It's tough, but it's obviously been good for our team to see Aaron coming around.
Let's quickly get back to the phones. James joins us from Rosemount. James, welcome. Do you have a question for Paul?
Yes, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Skip, first, let me just say, just enjoying the season immensely after 4 years of bad baseball. I'm sure you've heard it's a broken record. It's excellent. I just wanted to give you props. After Lloyd McClendon, Mariners manager, argues last night, immediately the first pitch, you take advantage of maybe a team that wasn't prepared mentally for the steal. So I just wanted to give you your props and just say great coaching.
Well, last night was, we had missed opportunities throughout the game that I thought might cost us in the end, but we stayed with the game. You know, Sano gave us a big jolt with the leadoff double on the first pitch. We noticed, obviously, with two outs that they weren't paying particular attention to Rosario out there. The pitcher was getting a little bit sped up. He had thrown a couple of wild pitches. Normally, you don't want to steal third base with two outs, but I thought in that instance, between what happened with the ejection and all the different things that transpired, that if we could get him to third, it might take the slider out of the mix because he was having trouble commanding it. It had gotten by the catcher a couple times. So it's a little bit of a risk proposition. Probably maybe not try it if you're down by a run, but being tied, a little more freedom because you know the game's going to get extended one way or the other. So it worked out. You know, Rosario picked up on what you're trying to communicate to him. He took advantage. And, you know, Suzuki got a 3-1 fastball, and maybe he wouldn't have if we didn't do that. I don't know. But sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
I've been talking all year about the importance of every 90 feet last night. Boy, case in point. We need to take a break. We'll come back, talk more about Miguel Sano. Eddie Rosario's been hot, as well as today's matchup. It's all straight ahead. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
Kids grow out of calling mom, mommy. They grow out of sleeping with a blankie. They grow out of eating stuff off the floor. They grow out of race car-shaped beds. They grow out of having invisible friends, hopefully. But a kid never grows out of baseball. They grow old with it. The joy, the lessons, and the memories stick with them like pine tar. Give your kid the lifelong gift of baseball. Learn more at twinscommunityfund.org. The Twins Community Fund. Getting more kids in the game. The Minnesota Twins Community Fund is supported by Minnesota Twins Cornerstone Partners, Target, U.S. Bank, Treasure Island Resort and Casino, and Delta Airlines. We thank them for supporting youth baseball and softball throughout the Upper Midwest and for getting more kids in the game.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Every Tuesday is a U.S. Bank Value Pack Day at Target Field. Purchase a U.S. Bank Home Run Porch View ticket and receive a free Schweigert hot dog and Pepsi. For more information, go to twinsbaseball.com.
It's Paul Molitor Show. The Twins take on the Mariners today. Mike Pelfrey will pitch. He'll be opposed by Hisashi Iwakuma, a guy who's really given the Twins fits in years past, has struggled a bit with some health issues this year. One guy certainly not struggling is Eddie Rosario, and another guy who's not struggling at the plate, for the most part, is Miguel Sano. Those two young guys, not many teams can roll out that many young players, not just in their lineup, but in the heart of their lineup, Paul. And those two guys have both played big roles for you in the last month plus.
Well, you know, Eddie coming up here, you know, he wasn't as on people's radar, fans' radar, as much as, you know, Buxton and Sano. But he's come up here and taken advantage of the opportunity to play. He's provided a lot for us on the defensive side. Offensively, he's gotten a lot of big hits. You know, he's an aggressive base runner, still trying to get him to be a little bit more situationally aware. But he's been great. And Sano, you know, I was thinking the other day, I looked up, and I think he's approaching 100 plate appearances. And probably 50% of those plate appearances, he doesn't put the ball in play. He walks or he strikes out. But he still provided a lot of value. He's gotten on base well over 40% of the time. He's gotten some big hits. He's a threat. You can tell, even being a young kid, that they pitch him very carefully. And the fact that he's been patient has allowed people down in the lineup to do damage behind him. So, a lot different team right now than it looked coming out of spring training, and those guys have made us a lot better. There's no doubt about that.
Also, Paul, in the last month or so, we've seen Aaron Hicks, and it seemed like for quite some time early in this year, you hit him 6th, 7th, 8th spot in the lineup, then you put him into the 2 spot, and ever since then, he seems to have responded well.
Well, you think a lot about making those kind of moves. You know, do you want to mess with a guy who's, you know, finding some success that he's worked hard to attain? And but then there's certain days, whether it's Torrey getting a day off or Dozier getting a day off, where I got him up there. You know, let off one time. I think he's hit second now for, you know, maybe a handful of games, if not a little bit more. And it hasn't changed the things he's been doing. So I like having his speed up there. Obviously, he can hit balls in the 3-hole with men on base. He can do a lot of things. He can bunt. It might not be that way every day because it's nice to have a player playing well down in the lower third, which he can provide also. But some of these days, it makes sense to get him up near the top as well as he's playing.
One of the things I've also noticed, Paul, is you have kind of given this team a a quiet confidence in the fact that you're never too high, never too low. Yesterday's game is behind us. Tomorrow's game is tomorrow. Let's worry about today. When your team scores as well as they did against the Yankees in that first game, and then you have a pitcher come out and just shut you down. It's happened twice now since that game in New York. You saw a young kid in Taiwan Walker the other night pitch as well as as anybody can pitch. You got to tip your hat and move on. Do you get any feedback from the guys that they get down on days like that, or what's your response to them after those kind of games?
Well, you know, I'm not a huge tip of the hat guy. I think people know that. But obviously, Taiwan the other night gave everybody a vision of what he can turn out to be once he's able to lock that kind of stuff in the majority of his starts. You know, it's just one of those things where you can tell early in the game if a guy's got it and he's going to be tough, and then you buckle up and you say, well, I still got to try to find a way. You know, it might only take one good inning or whatever it might be. But I do think that generally, you know, those games are a little easier to swallow when someone comes out and dominates, as opposed to the ones where you don't play cleanly, you allow the team other attempts by not making plays or various things that you can do to cause your team to come up on the wrong side. But if you play a clean game and someone comes out and does that to you, I think it's a little easier to turn the page and come back, refresh, and get ready to go the next day.
We'll turn our page, take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about today's pitching matchup as the Twins try to make it 3-4 from the Seattle Mariners. It's the Paul Molitor Show. This is your home for Twins baseball.
Looking for a compact SUV? Say hello to the 2015 Ford Escape. Its available EcoBoost engines match big power and big MPG. That way I spend more time exploring and less time waiting at the pumps. Plus, it's loaded with awesome features like available intelligent four-wheel drive. No matter the terrain, no matter the weather, I can count on Escape to stay on the road. Hello, road trips. Or an available foot-activated power liftgate helps me stash my gear in the trunk even if my hands are full. Not to mention the standard backup camera. That'll make fitting into those tight parking spaces a breeze. To me, the choice is clear. Nothing beats an Escape. The 2015 Ford Escape, starting around $21,860. That's right, around $21,860. Only for a limited time. Go online to northlandford.com, then visit your local Northland Ford dealer today. Not all buyers will qualify for all cash back. Residency restrictions apply. See dealer for their price, qualifications, and complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/7/15.
At Quick Trip, we hit the road early. We've got a lot of ground to cover to make sure you've got fresh bread from our bakery, the freshest milk and ice cream from our dairy, fresh produce. We make this trek every day to make sure your day is everything it should be.
So how about a dozen Nature's Touch Grade A large eggs for only $1.29? Just pop into your neighborhood Quick Trip store.
This is what we do, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Start of a big day here across our network. Just afternoon, Rob Antony and Corey Probus on Inside Twins. Corey always cleans up the studio for us, so that's a benefit. Then we've got our pregame lineup card and, of course, baseball. It'll be Mike Pelfrey versus Hisashi Iwakuma. Let's start with Pelfrey. You mentioned with Walker, with some guys you can tell early they're really going to be on their game. Is Pelfrey a guy you can tell early whether he's got his good stuff or whether it's going to be more of a battle for him?
I wouldn't say as much as a guy that like Walker we saw the other night, because Mike's had some starts where, you know, he'll come out and dominate the first three innings, and then he'll run into a little bit of a funk where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's not throwing it over as much or not hitting his spots. And what you hope is that, which he's done numerous times, he's kind of regrouped and found a way to get deep into games. You know, he hasn't been pitching quite as well as he was early, but we still are running him out there with confidence. You know, but he loves pitching here at Target Field. He's been better here than on the road. I think you talk about potential momentum. Anytime you make a comeback, you like to think that he has a chance for your guys to carry over and come out today ready to get another victory. But, it kind of goes with your starting pitching, and hopefully Mike has a good day today.
Early in the year, Mike seemed to have picked up his pace on the mound way better than a year ago. And it seemed like, and it's, I guess, human nature, Paul, when you're kind of struggling again, that you slow things down. But are you happy with his pace right now? Do you think that's something you're always going to have to work with him?
That's an accurate assessment. I think, you know, confidence level and what you're doing out there and being able to, you know, just get your pitch, get your sign, get ready and throw it. When you believe you're going to get good results, you're going to work a little bit faster. And, you know, it goes without saying, as things start to kind of trend the opposite way for you, you do slow down a little bit, maybe overthink things even at times. So when he's rolling, he's getting out there, he's getting the ball and he's throwing it. And, you know, you can kind of watch that for, as one of your indicators.
Iwakuma's a guy who's had great success against the Twins, but it's a lot different group of Twins that you're going to send against him today, many of whom have not seen him before. What sort of problems does he pose for hitters?
Well, you know, when he's been good, it's just a lot of deception, a lot of movement. Certainly throws his off-speed behind and counts effectively. He's been tough on young players, particularly because they kind of get over-aggressive and they try to force the action, and he knows how to play off of that. You know, he hasn't had a totally healthy year, and, you know, I know he's trying to get back into the groove that he has shown in the past. You know, hopefully today's a day where, you know, we're patient. We make sure we get good pitches. We use the whole field and find a way to score some runs.
Paul, talking about Iwakuma, he's a guy that will throw a lot of off-speed pitches, a lot of breaking pitches. You just mentioned the – he tries to work off a hitter's aggression. When you look at your team, and you know, the question I guess I have for you is your team a better off-speed hitting team that can hit the breaking ball, or are they a better fastball hitting team? I know you want them to be able to do both, but, you know, when you look at your overall club offensively, what would you say they have a better chance against?
I think we're better against the harder throwers, Jack, in general. I think we have a lot of guys that have trouble getting off the fastball. You know, you see patterns from the side of, you just hope your guys start looking slow, especially when they're behind in counts. But they, especially young guys, have a tendency not to be able to get off the fact they don't want to get beat by a fastball. And I think that's a big part of developing as a hitter, is when you start to trust that you don't have to get worried about getting beat by a fastball. It gives yourself a better chance. It gets you to, gives you an opportunity to use the whole field. But you talk about guys, you know, Dozier and Hicks and Hunter, and you just go down the line. A lot of these guys are, they're at their best when they get fastballs. We got some guys that hit the off-speed pretty well. Rosario's been good as long as he keeps it in the zone. I think Joe's really good off-speed, you know. So, but most of our guys, it's fastball related mostly.
Yeah, good thing you never get fastballs from us on this show, right?
You can hit always curveballs, right?
All off speed. Paul Molitor is here. Best of luck today with the Mariners. Paul, always great to have
you. Okay, guys, have a great Sunday.
That's right, Paul Molitor. This is the Paul Molitor Show. And Jack, we're going to do this little get together in Cleveland next week, so it should be a whole lot of fun. But one thing, we got about 30 seconds you're looking for today.
Well, I'd like to see Pelf go out and have a good performance. I think he can and will. You know, this is a chance to win the first series since the All-Star break, so it's an important game for the Twins.
Yeah, and a big bunch of folks all kind of clumped up as we start the month of August chasing those playoff spots. Nice to keep a little distance between you and the posse that's trying to hunt you down. For Paul and Jack and folks who joined us here today, my name's Chris Atterbury. If you missed any part of the show or want to revisit it, find us on TwinsBaseball.com. This is the Paul Molitor Show right here on your home for Twins Baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.